We recognize the power of our Heavenly Father as we share this weekly program from Words of Life. Words of Life is presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus. Today, we rebroadcast a sermon by Brother David Johnson that was first presented some years ago. Using Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39, he will speak to us on the topic, "I put to death and I bring to life." We now present singing in praise for our Lord.
I am a sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever, watching wherever I go.
Worthy the Lamb that was slain.
Holy Father, as we pray, we recognize your power and holiness, and that is why we can talk to you in prayer. Thank you for listening to us through Jesus. Some of our listeners are facing illness while others are discouraged who are in need of salvation. Please bless them and meet their needs. Be with the works of faith and especially protect the persecuted. As always, we ask that we will be ready for the appearing of Jesus to draw believers to him. In the name of Jesus, amen. We will now hear an archived sermon by Brother David Johnson entitled, I Put to Death and I Bring to Life.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God and make personal application and share the wonderful principles and precepts and promises and prophecies of God with others. The title for the lesson is, I Put to Death and I Bring to Life. And the text is in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And verse 39. See now that I myself am He. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand. This is the word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His precious word. Someone has written these words, quote, God asks no man whether he will accept life. That is not the choice. You must take it. The only choice is how. There is not one life which the life giver ever loses out of his sight. Not one which sins so that he casts it away. Not one which is not so near to him that whatever touches it touches him with sorrow or with joy. The truest end of life is to know that life that never ends. The great use of life is to spend it for something that outlasts it. Take care of your life, and the Lord will take care of your death. End of quote. God has revealed to mankind in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39, I put to death and I bring to life. This is God's explicit, expressed will. And this truth is not in this context just to Israel, but by extension to all nations and to all mankind. Human life to our Creator God is of great value, precious to God as our Creator. We are all created, according to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, as made in the image of God, or likeness of God, which includes all human beings, because all human beings have intellect and will and eternal spirits. Only God, therefore, has reserved the right to give or take human life. Ultimately, God proved His love of mankind by sending His one and only unique Son to die on the cross at Golgotha for mankind, that we could all potentially live with Him for all eternity. So let's together investigate God's revealed will in Scripture regarding four practices of mankind that God utterly rejects: murder, abortion, suicide, and euthanasia, some of which are now acceptable and legal across our land, to which young people in particular need to understand from our Creator's perspective as revealed, recorded, and preserved in Scripture as immoral, just wrong. So first, murder, the most obvious. Murder is the deliberate, intentional, premeditated taking of another human being's life. It was, according to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8, the very first recorded crime in human history, as Cain murdered his brother Abel intentionally with great malice, jealousy, and hatred. And ever since, murder has been regarded as one of the most serious, heinous of all crimes against humanity done on an individual basis. The sixth commandment of God, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, says, "You shall not murder," which is still immoral worldwide. Yet on television, in movies, in video games, in plays, in books, and etc., they blatantly trivialize human life. Murder is rampant in the media, on our screens, and on our streets. Consider Revelation chapter 13 and verse 15 that says, "All who refuse to worship the image to be killed." Here we find mass murder, which continues and will exponentially grow even in the future, even in the name of false religion, have no part with this terrible sin, because God states, "I put to death and I bring to life." Secondly, abortion. Certainly a very thorny and debated and heated issue morally amongst men, amongst humankind. And yet, in Scripture, it's not a debate. Abortion is a procedure which involves the premature expulsion of the human fetus with the intent of bringing about its death. It is intentional, premeditated discarding of a fetus in the womb of its mother. Today in America, since the year of our Lord 1973, this is legal, at least under certain circumstances, in all jurisdictions. The rally call of choice in this matter is that women should have the right to control, to have choice regarding their own bodies. Humanly speaking, this sounds reasonable. However, God, as creator of human life, reveals His will in Scripture. Consider Psalm 139 and verse 13 and following, that says in part, "For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." Verse 16, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be." So God desires each fetus according to God's will and purpose, that is, born alive, to live out his or her life however long God gives that person life. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 42, it says in part, "Blessed is the child you will bear," as the angel Gabriel spoke to the Virgin Mary. But by application, this should apply to each and every precious human life. From God's perspective, it's not about a choice, it's about a child. Adoption, not abortion, should be the choice for unwanted babies. And consistency demands that the unborn should have the same rights as the born. Today, in this day and age, everybody is looking for his or her rights. Well, what about the unborn? Do they not have rights? God states, "I put to death and I bring to life." Thirdly, there is again the very thorny issue of suicide. Suicide is the intentional, deliberate taking of one's own life. While not explicit in Scripture, suicide should similarly be prohibited by the sixth commandment. You shall not murder, which includes self-murder. It is noteworthy in the Bible, which records at least five cases of obvious suicide. Abimelech in Judges chapter 9 and verses 50 through 56. Saul, the first king of United Israel, in 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verses 1 through 6. Zimri in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verses 18 and 19. Ahithophel in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 23. And in the New Testament, Judas Iscariot in Matthew chapter 27 and verses 3 through 10. In each of these cases of suicide, their deaths represent a tragic end to a life that did not, in their latter stages, meet with God's approval. Now you realize that there's a special case with Samson, his story recorded in Judges chapter 16. A special case because Samson first prayed to God that he may die, and God granted his request. And so we leave that to God. But God plainly states, I put to death and I bring to life. Fourthly, there's euthanasia, which is probably the most controversial and complicated morally of all of these four. The word euthanasia comes actually from two Greek words, which translated literally means good death or happy death. Today, euthanasia basically means an act which brings death to a terminally ill person suffering greatly or near death. Meaning death is brought about by actively causing the patient's death, such as by lethal injection. Most would not include as euthanasia withdrawing or withholding treatment viewed as useless, with the intent not to cause death, but simply to relieve the patient of unnecessary treatment and simply allow natural causes, nature, to take its course. Intent is the key here regarding the morality of the circumstances, the situation. For example, to refuse chemotherapy in an advanced cancer case because of its side effects, with the intention to relieve pain or not to worsen side effects, but not to cause immediate death, but to let nature take its course, would not be euthanasia. Yet other complications arise regarding, for example, the competency of the mind of also a fully informed patient to choose a course of action. Of course, from a human perspective, this could be complicated, but from God's perspective, we should know that God, in His omniscience, in His omnipotence, always knows and always can take a life if He so chooses. God never makes mistakes regarding human competency or choice or intent. God knows the heart. He knows the mind. God always accurately does what He does in the right way, at the right time, for the right reason. Euthanasia, with the intent to bring on one's unnatural, premature death, amounts to suicide. Do you remember Jonah, for example, in Scripture, who deeply desired to die? Yet he stated in his book, Jonah, chapter 4 and verse 3, O Lord, take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Of course, Jonah wrote this when he was so depressed because of the ungodly Ninevites who actually repented. But Jonah, notice, did not consider suicide a godly moral option. He pleaded with God to take his life, because only God can put to death, and only God can bring life. Scripture does not teach that people have an absolute moral obligation always to accept treatment to sustain life artificially. We can choose to just allow nature, natural causes, to take their effect. But we should remember that God states clearly, explicitly, that I put to death and I bring to life. And God so deeply desires, ultimately, to give all who would come to Him, who would seek Him and receive Him in Christ Jesus today, to give all eternal life with Him.
So
Wait till the dawn.
It has been our blessing to hear Brother Johnson's sermon. We pray that you have become a baptized believer in Jesus and are following his teachings in obedience. If you have not made a decision for Christ, or if you're not living for him, please contact us if you'd like to have information. To receive a free recording of this program and the one for next week, ask for 2243. That's 2243. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.